This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What convinces you that Mike Tomlin is the guy to do that still after all of these years?
Mike T and I have been together now for 18 years. You know, I've been in this capacity going in my third draft, and, you know, I just see the passion and that he has, and he's great to work with, and I love him as a person and a football coach, and I'm excited what the future holds for us.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Tell that to your paying customers, Omar Khan, that you're excited to see what the future holds with Mike Tomlin, because the people we talk to here on this radio station say the exact opposite. They don't believe that the Steelers can win again until they show Mike Tomlin the door, which... that's not how it works here. You're basically like a Pope or a Supreme Court justice. You get to coach as long as you want when you're Steelers head coach. And Mike's never had a losing season, but he also hasn't had a playoff win since 2016. Players still love him. Got an A in this NFLPA survey. They graded all kinds of things. Owner Art Rooney got slagged, was given a D grade, 28th out of 32 teams. Only six head coaches had a better grade than Tomlin. Names you would expect like Andy Reid and Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, who won NFL Head Coach of the Year, Dan Quinn, who did a great job with the Commanders this year. Names you might not expect like Raheem Morris in Atlanta, Mike McDaniel in Miami. But still, from the people that he coaches and the guys he's trying to get his message out to, they still really like him and believe in him as a head coach. Now, I have been accused in the past on this radio station in the 15 years we've been here of twisting any positive on Mike Tomlin into a negative. But I do think it's applicable here for a few reasons. I don't think that this is the end-all, be-all. If I am a Mike Tomlin apologist or Mike Tomlin lover, I don't think you can simply just look at this grade and say, see, look, this is proof that Mike still has his fastball, Mulsey, and here's why. There are a couple things that I think fall under Mike Tomlin's purview, let's say, that the Steelers did not do well on in this. One of them is the performance of the Steelers' strength coach. The Steelers' strength coach staff, the weight room guys that are supposed to get them in the, quote, best shape of their lives, finished dead last, got the worst grade. Now, why is that a Mike Tomlin thing? Because he blew out the previous staff and replaced him with a guy who had ties to his son's college career. This is like the low-key Matt Canada move all over again. Strength coaches from Boston College, where Dino Tomlin played, they come here, Chris, and right off the bat, major mistake, huge folly. The Russell Wilson injury on the first day of training camp. That was probably a strength coach, get these guys in shape, total mistake.
The phrase, why is Russell Wilson pushing a weighted sled, was getting uttered a lot.
So I think that's the... everyone always says, hey, with very rare exception, like when Canada was fired or even the input that Rooney had on hiring Arthur Smith. He was very involved in that. That it is Mike's coaching staff. Omar got a question about the coaching staff changes and said, you need to ask Mike Tomlin about that. That's not my domain.
Mm-hmm.
So players love him, fine. The assistant coaches were not graded. I'd love to know how, because it's that head coach. I'd love to know how Steelers players feel about their assistant coaches. My guess is they don't have a very high opinion of them.
I think there's just a weird blind spot here overall where the players do love the guy at the top of the heap and they respect him and all the stuff we hear about how he relates to them, and the guy you get in front of the cameras is totally different than the guy behind the scenes and how he relates to these guys. I think they all love it, and then I think it just exists in like this weird little compartmentalized vacuum kind of area where they don't connect him to, well, he hires the coaches. They connect him to, if there's a bad draft pick, he probably had a lot of say in it. And I do think in all this, Brooke Pryor made an interesting point, though. He's ranked seventh because guys just like him. He clearly, you like anybody that is more relatable to you than maybe somebody else would be. But Brooke wrote,
why do you think he's still relatable when he's in his 50s now, when he's been in the NFL for as long as he's been? Because you did call it a dinosaur franchise yesterday, so why do you think he's been able to avoid falling into the Jurassic period trap with his players?
Well, I do think the way he talks to these guys, I think other coaches don't like talk to these guys the way Mike does. I think he really does still make like a genuine commitment to getting to know them. And I think that probably cuts across like football dinosaur tendencies. You know who else is a guy who I bet, who's much older than Mike, would probably get high marks as far as do you relate to
me? Pete Carroll?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Pete has a lot of the same dinosaur tendencies as far as how he wants to coach football and thinks it should be played.
Lennox still love dinosaurs?
Yeah, he's into them still a fair amount. He's
Stella's obsessed.
He's real into the video game scene now because he plays the one game where Mario game where you can create your own levels. So now, and I do like this for him. He'll create levels for me. One of them was like from the movie Saw last night. Pick three doors at the start. Two of them drop you to immediate death on a spinning blade. One of them is correct.
So he likes watching you fail at things?
Yeah, and I failed twice before I picked the right door.
Good kid.
Anyway, he's still into them, though. He's still
Stella's new thing is Daddy T-Rex, Mommy T-Rex, Baby T-Rex, Mommy Brachiosaurus, Daddy Brachiosaurus, Baby Brachiosaurus.
Oh, now Lennox would be teaching her the proper pronunciations, too. He'd say Brachiosaurus, Diplodocus.
Mommy Stegosaurus.
What's her favorite, T-Rex still?
T-Rex, she says every time, yeah.
Ace is very much into the car scene.
She makes
right now
the Mommy Brachiosaurus and the Daddy T-Rex kiss because she thinks that they're actually Mommy and Daddy together.
Oh, so they're not two separate parents from different marriages. They're really together.
Yeah.
Wow, very romantic of her. It's like when Harry met Sally, but for dinosaurs.
And in reality, didn't the T-Rex try to eat that?
The Steg? Or the mommy T-Rex? Wait, it's a mommy and daddy T-Rex?
Wouldn't the T-Rex try to eat the Brachiosaurus?
Oh, yeah. They're going after plant eaters big time.
Even the biggest ones.
Oh, they're still, big tree fall hard or whatever.
A lot of meat there.
Well, to feed a whole village.
Right.
I don't know how to segue. I have no segue out of that, actually. Ace, by the way, just a menace. Just while we're talking about kids for a second, total menace.
Are they coming tonight to this?
They are not. Can you imagine me bringing, like, unleashing those two on this place? They wouldn't even be allowed in. They're children.
You can't even come to the Rivers for a show.
You can't be on the floor of the casino.
That's a good point.
Because back when we would go to Vegas, we went to Vegas when I was a little kid. My parents couldn't, like, walk us through the casino portion of Circus Circus, which is where we stayed. Anyway, Brooke had a point, though, about Tomlin I do think is relevant. She had a point about Art, but there's a thing about Mike that I think is relevant. One of the categories he got rated on in this was, like, his willingness to listen to his players as far as, like, their opinion and input on how to improve the team. He ranked basically middle of the pack, 15th out of 32. What is a strange needle to see him continue to thread as being so well-liked overall. That paints, though, a picture, that other ranking pony, of a guy who is not always exactly receptive to them and kind of stubborn. Like, I know better than you. I've been here, done that for a long time, since you were in diapers kind of deal. Because he has been doing it since some of his players are probably 2 and 3 years old, right?
Yeah, now that you mention it.
I mean, it's true. I don't love that for him because that reinforces one of my most negative feelings about him is that he is very set in his ways. He has been empowered to be set in his ways, and no one's going to challenge him about being set in his ways. So that does get me fed up.
If I'm going to take a positive view of Tomlin from this, here's what I would say. Here's what I would try to argue. you could paint the picture that he's held back from Art, and if Art maybe in his vision of what the Steelers are or should be, if Mike did not have that hanging over him, he might be different. He might be better. I don't agree with that, but it is interesting that you and I kind of lump Rooney and Tomlin together so often now, like they're attached at the hip. Sometimes Art like sounds like he's working for Tomlin. That's how much he venerates him. It is interesting the dichotomy here where one guy gets an A and the other guy gets almost the worst grade possible.
Well, I think Art's just seen as incredibly distant and, like, not standoffish isn't the right word, but he's just not there. And I think players know enough to know he controls the purse strings. So, like, if something does or doesn't get done facilities-wise, it's Art's call.
Like, it's almost like...
They're still in the battle every Sunday with Mike.
I know, but it's almost analogous to me, like, maybe this Pirates manager could be better. So if his owner spent more money.
So do you think to some extent...
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I mean, I think that's possible. Do you really think Mike has to have his arm twisted to be a run-first, defense-heavy coach if that's Art, you know, cascading down from him? I don't think... People always point out to, like, rebut me when I say Mike wants to win Stone Age style, that when Ben was in his prime and they had the Killer Bees, he happily embraced an up-tempo offense and his defense just couldn't kind of pull their weight with, like, cheap, inexpensive young players. And that is true. But I think that the fact that Ben kind of ran the show on one side of the ball exclusively, I think Mike has wanted to push back and say, I can do it my way on both sides of the ball and we can thrive. I do think that has been like held over his head a little bit. I think the one thing I would say in Mike's favor is this. It is obvious whether you or I think like that the players are wrong to feel this way or like that his charismatic kind of nature gives him a pass on other stuff that's more tangible, right? Like, the guys who are the best, Campbell's charismatic and he knows what he's doing, too. I do think this is a thing worth saying in Mike's favor. With how badly Art has scored 2 years in a row in this, I do think the fact that Mike usually gets his guys to go hard and never to just kick in on a season and completely, like, suck, not that that might not be the best thing for them, sort of prevents them in some ways from turning into the Bengals, like, of the bad, you know, the bad Cincy teams, right? Where they would just bottom out and be really bad because the owner was not well liked.
You mean that you put two and two together there?
Well, I'm more pointing out, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily a virtuous thing in the end because you'd rather sink to the bottom and get like a Joe Burrow who should have the Bengals back. But the way you hear guys talk about Art and the way you've heard Mike Brown talked about, like, what stands mainly between like that team that doesn't like that owner and being really bad 1 year, it might be the fact that they all like are willing to die on the field for Mike because they respect him. Like, he's almost a bulwark against like them being like one of the dregs in many ways because he manages to get a base level of performance and wins out of those
guys. But I think
it's
interesting that like everybody in the national media basically knows and outside of Cincinnati that Mike Brown is a cheap owner. And it seems like now people are just like coming around to the idea or waking up to the idea that Art Rooney pretty much operates the same way.
I think that's because the Steelers have won more than the Bengals have. Not recently. The Bengals have been on the precipice of winning a Super Bowl, but I think that's where like your historical franchise perception factors
in. Here are some coaches that Tomlin graded out better than. Nick Sirianni, Super Bowl champion coach. Jim Harbaugh. LaFleur, who wins every year in Green Bay and has done it with multiple quarterbacks.
John Harbaugh too then, right?
John Harbaugh. Sean McDermott.
Okay.
Kevin Stefanski, who's been coach of the year
twice.
He was
near the bottom, wasn't he?
He got of coaches who are still employed, he got the worst grade. He got a C. So did Doug Peterson and Matt Eberflus, and both guys got killed.
All right, I mean, I will say I think that the part of this that's unscientific is if you like a guy personally who's your head coach and you just think personally he's a good dude and you think he cares about you as a person, I think even if the team doesn't have the same level of success, you're going to be inclined to rate him more favorably.
Well, that's probably how Mike McDaniel got an A-plus from the Dolphins.
Right, because he's relatable. And I think guys would be more willing to say, I think Mike's a great coach. We didn't hold up our end of the bargain for him more so than they'd be likely to say, man, Mike didn't have the greatest game plan in this game. Like, I think he could have done more to help us out.
Text us on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We had Richie Walsh at the Combine give a scuttlebutt on who he thinks the Steelers will draft based on his conversations and what he was hearing on Matthew Stafford, Justin Fields, and Russell Wilson. We'll get Aditi's take on it next, but first a Donnie headline. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Pre-party for our big 15th anniversary celebration tonight here at the Rivers. We're currently at the Sportsbook, one of our homes away from home, at our broadcast position here. There's a sign that says bar that's lit up. Like a nice happy hour. We never get to do one on this show because of the time of our show, which is just a kind of a champagne problem.
Actually, we do during football season. We usually do a happy hour.
Sure, but we don't actually get to go to happy hours is what I mean.
Well, Pony, I wouldn't rather have it any other way than to be sitting there in the studio having a beer with you.
Our incredible sales manager bringing the happy hour to us right
now. That's right.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
Oh, that's just perfect.
Anyways, let's go to the fan hotline, like I said. That's where we find Aditi Kinkabwala. She is, I think, currently at St. Elmo Steakhouse in Indianapolis. Hello, Aditi.
I am actually not at St. Elmo Steakhouse. I am also not currently happy houring, but
okay. Also, St. Elmo Steakhouse would have very little appeal to Aditi, who's a vegetarian. Now, are you a pescatarian, though? Will you eat the shrimp, the shellfish?
I am not. I do not.
She goes all the
shrimp.
Way. No half measures with
but
her.
She's not a vegan, like, because being a vegan starts to really that limits your
cheese.
Options.
I love dairy. I love ice cream. I love cheese. I love Greek yogurt. So, correct. I am not a vegan.
Aditi, let's go right to quarterback scuttlebutt. Then we'll get into these NFLPA grades for the Steelers. Schefter said today three teams for Stafford, mentioned the Steelers. How realistic do you think Stafford to the Steelers is?
Oh, gosh. You want me to answer with, like, a percentage? I don't think it's dead. You know, you've thrown things at me where I've said it's not happening. I'm trying to think of one. What did I tell you? I told you Ayuk was not happening.
And a lot of good that did him because he kept digging in on it, Aditi.
Well, there have been quite a few, right, Pony, where you were like, is this guy coming? And I've been like, nope, it's not happening. It's not, no matter what the scuttlebutt or the noise is.
Is Stafford the Steelers in the ICU, Aditi? Is it in stable condition? Like, how are we looking here?
I don't know that it's stable. I'm just saying that I'm not going to poo-poo it immediately like I do a lot of things that you guys throw at me.
Why is that?
Because there is enough noise here and enough conversations that it's not out of the realm of possibility. And I think, you know, I used this line on you. I said that I had spoken to another general manager. I think I told you guys this. I talked to another general manager who's also in the position of needing a quarterback. And he had said to me, we're in the dating everyone stage.
You did tell us
meaning
that.
You're going to. I did tell you guys that. Sorry.
Yeah, and then Chris joked about my Facebook usage and trying to cast a wide net with girls. Yeah, we did all that.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. You know what? When you were at the Combine, you have so many conversations that sometimes they all run together, and now you're asking me to remember a conversation from a week ago. But in any case, my point is that that's where the Steelers are right now. And this year, Omar Khan certainly wasn't going to paint himself into any sort of corner. So any team worth its salt is doing its due diligence on anything and everything. And so, obviously, due diligence is being done. And from what I have been told, Matthew Stafford is not dead on arrival, as a lot of the things that you've thrown at me
are. Do you still feel that way about Russ returning to the Steelers?
From all of the reporting that I have and all of the conversations that I've had with people in the building, everything I have been told is that he is not going to re-sign with the Steelers.
Aditi, let me change gears on you. The NFLPA player survey came out today again, and first off, Art Rooney up three spots on the ownership grades from last year, but that still leaves him in the bottom five in real estate, also occupied by Michael Bidwill, Woody Johnson, Jimmy Haslam. What's your reaction to, once again, the Steelers players rating Art near the bottom, ultimately, among owners in the league?
You read the comments, right? Or
yep.
Some of the reasons?
The rationale, yeah.
Yes, and so if it's not completely, totally out of left field, they have their reasons. This has stayed fairly consistent since they've been doing this, and I travel to every facility I see.
That's why you're a great person to ask about this, because of what you just said right there, Aditi. Seriously.
Yeah, there are differences. There are a lot of differences in the Steelers building, the way that the Steelers do certain things, what the Steelers offer. And a lot of that is because legacy often counted for something. But we're in a different day and age that when you are being rated on your locker room, on your lunchroom or your cafeteria, on your training room, it's not enough to say, okay, well, we'll put up with all these things that are sort of below average just to get to play for this coach that we'll give high marks to.
Aditi, you have told us about George Pickens and what you observed in him having worked sidelines of Steelers games. Omar Khan basically made it sound like they're not ready to end that relationship, and they might actually be interested in extending it. I think the most likely outcome, at least it sounds to me right now, is that they'll bring him back in almost a lame duck, prove it. We're not going to give you an extension now, but maybe if you play well and you're behaved, we might after that season when your fourth year is up. Do you think that's a good idea to roll the dice and bring Pickens back on a lame duck contract when he...
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Sees his peers getting big money and extensions from other teams.
Well, then you have your answer. If he doesn't have the maturity to say, okay, this is my prove it year, this is when I'm going to make them regret this because I'll be worth so much more money a year from now than I am right now. If he's able to do that, then that tells you something about his social and emotional maturity. If he can't, if he pouts and he sulks, then that tells you that he's not someone you want to be locked up with long term. But I will say this, the way that you just phrased that, you yep. said if he behaves.
Yep.
At this point, everything that you know of him, everything that you knew of him before you drafted him and everything that you've known of him since he's been in your building, you have to acknowledge what that is and you have to decide if you're going to help him. Now, you have to decide if you're going to offer support around him. And in my personal opinion, the help that you offer him is by actually holding him accountable. You are not doing him any favors by letting what you are calling bad behavior, your phrase,
yep.
letting it go. Okay, that hasn't helped him, that hasn't changed his behavior in any way, that hasn't made him any less high maintenance of a teammate or player. So if you want him to change the way that he behaves, you can't keep operating the exact same way. Something's got to change. And you can't expect him at this point to just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to be the consummate professional from here on out. This is a guy that needs some help getting there, so help him get there.
Aditi, based on who you've talked to, if the Steelers actually watched Ashton Jeanty fall in the first round of the draft, teams still putting the old running backs aren't worth it vibe out there in the first round, do you think they would actually pounce on him if he was sitting there at pick 21 based on who you're talking to?
That's a tough one. You know, he is a top 10 talent. This is funny because I've been sitting with as many general managers and head coaches and all that as I can and doing some of the fun stuff that I've done here. And one of the things that I've asked a bunch of general managers is if you could start a franchise today with any one player in NFL history, who would you start the franchise with? And, you know, several guys have said Joe Green. Several guys have said Lawrence Taylor. A bunch have said Tom Brady. It's very interesting.
How about Kent Graham? Did his name come up?
It's interesting. No, but it's very interesting who would start with an edge rusher, who would start with a quarterback. Nick Caserio, the Texans GM, actually today, the first name he said was James Brown, was Jim Brown. And I said, well, that's interesting that you would start with a running back. And he said, well, running backs this past year sure proved how important they are, didn't they? And he, of course, added then, can I also add LT and Tom Brady? But the point is that I think that we've seen that backs are not necessarily a dime a dozen, that there are certain backs that absolutely can be truly unique and game changers. I don't know. I mean, I'll just frankly tell you, I don't know if the Steelers would do that again so soon after Najee Harris.
Aditi, God, that is so interesting that Nick Caserio actually went on record and said that and talked about it that way, only because, like, I would just feel like the context is so missing there. Barkley goes to a team with an awesome offensive line. Jahmyr Gibbs is a first-round back. Like, Henry goes to the Ravens, such a unique attack with Jackson. Like, I am intrigued to hear that an NFL GM is still just saying almost context independent, you just trust in that kind of level of talent.
And what a flex by Aditi when she's even able to have these conversations with people.
No, I love it. And that's like an awesome nugget. I don't know how I'd feel about it, I guess, if I were a Texans fan.
Mosey, it's so funny because you sit here and think about it. What's so interesting about that, too, is that Nick Caserio spent how many years with the Patriots
right.
who never
the
had
land of disposable
a big-name running
backs.
Back.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Running
they won all of those Super Bowls with, I mean, I think the most accomplished of their Super Bowl winning backs was LeGarrette Blunt.
I was going to say Corey Dillon.
They never had a frontliner at
they
that position.
They won it with Sony Michel as their leading rusher.
Correct. They used a first-round pick on him, which is a cautionary tale on that.
But again, what Casario was saying is more about Jim Brown and how he was such sort of a transcendental player and talent.
Where did he go to school?
And it's not just, yes, we know, he went to Syracuse. In any case, which Syracuse is also the home of Floyd Little and Tom Coughlin, who was a wingback as well.
And Larry Zonka.
Notice he's not talking about current Syracuse players, football or basketball.
Why?
Not a lot to crow about.
Kyle McCord had a bad game against Pitt, but otherwise
he's rising up the charts. Back on this, I mean, it's fascinating that you say this because I had this argument actually with my analyst over and over again about Derrick Henry, because Derrick Henry, the last few years in Tennessee, was considered washed. And then all of a sudden he goes to the Ravens, who, as you said, have the most unique rushing attack, and he's with Lamar Jackson. And all of a sudden, look at him. Lamar Jackson clearly makes him better. He makes Lamar better, all of that. But the Titans had no line. You know, so was he really washed, or was it that the Titans' offense had no pass game and they had no line? You know, like, of course, context makes a difference. But Saquon Barkley wasn't doing all of these things with the Giants, obviously.
Right, yeah.
So you can argue it every which way, but I think that there are certain players that, yes, you do need a little support, but Saquon Barkley would be Saquon Barkley with more teams than just the Eagles. And what I mean by that is that the Giants were that bad, but I think that there are some other teams that have good lines, maybe not as great as the Eagles, but good lines where you would see tremendous play from Saquon Barkley.
Aditi, we got to run because Craig Riley, our boss, just showed up, so we need to treat him like he's a big deal. So we will talk to you next week. Excellent
stuff. All right, thanks for having me, guys.
We can't wait to get more of your reports from Indy. Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. South Hills Kia, yes, Peters Township, southhillskia.net. All right, we've got a Bucko Minute. They played two today at the same time. What happened? Possibly a breakout, Malzi, from a former number one overall pick that I know you're excited about. First headline. Bucko Minute, they played two today. One in Bradenton, one in wherever the hell the Braves play games now. It used to be the Wide World of Sports at Disney. I'm not sure
right.
if it is anymore. The team they sent to Disney got hammered by the Braves 9-4. The team at home in Bradenton beat the Orioles 7-3. Do we have still Donnie, or do we have gorgeous Charlie Borges back in Green Tree now?
No, Charlie running late.
Oh, come on, Charles.
Oh, he's probably watching old Devils highlights, just thinking about Brian Madden and Travis Zajac.
Donnie, do me a favor. Hiles found a clip from the Braves broadcast.
John Madden, not Brian Madden.
Yes, of what their announcers said about Jared Triolo today. This has gone viral. So if you can grab that and tell me when you get it, I'd love to hear it. Malzi is just drinking the Henry Davis Kool-Aid. Why? Because the Pirates beat the Orioles 7-3 in that game, and a coming out party, so to speak, for Davis. 2-for-2 with a homer. Batting average now .500. OPS 1.404, Chris.
Yeah, I don't need to hear one single Henry Davis is a totally different person, and he is feeling so much more comfortable, and he's ready to break out.
And why is that?
Because I...
Hope springs eternal this time of year. I don't know if you've heard that.
I watched Henry Davis look like he was going to struggle if he was placed in single A last year. I do not need to read stories about how what is shaping up to be one of the worst draft busts the Pirates have had in years, and they've had a lot of them, so there's real competition.
Who's the biggest
here.
One?
True draft bust for where they picked him.
Biggest Pirates draft bust.
Man, don't I have to say in recent memory at least, Tony Sanchez? They picked him fourth. I don't care what their strategy was. They picked him in the top five, and he was a no-hit, minimal field catcher.
Okay, they took Brian Bullington one.
I know. I thought about him, too. Those are the two that jump out to me. I mean, the problem with Bullington as, like, saying he's the biggest bust is they almost, excused him from that designation when their own GM said we see him eventually being a good number three starter.
Dude, then I think Henry Davis is...
He's absolutely in the team picture for it already. I don't think he'll ever hit in the bigs. I don't. I think that he will...
We're celebrating our 15th anniversary tonight, and, you know, there will be some stories swapped about interviews and players. He ranks right up there as one of the worst interviews in the history of professional sports.
We tried...
Oh, my God.
I think I pride this show...
Root Canal doesn't even do it justice.
I pride this show. You especially, I think, do a great job, but I don't think I'm bad at it.
No, you're tremendous.
We try to... No, I'm saying specifically loosening up people and, like, having fun interviews... Man, we could have asked him, Henry, what gives you the most happiness in your life here on planet Earth? And I think you would have said, oh, just baseball. It was like a mixture of Bill Belichick with like this veiled feeling of menace beneath the surface.
But no Belichick gravitas.
You did get something out of Henry Davis about like getting engaged, I remember.
Yeah.
There was something there where we felt like we had done okay.
But that felt like a massive breakthrough.
I think we've even made some headway with Skeens, who's kind of cagey about that stuff.
It's like, you know, I'm trying to think of what alien movie it was where like they were trying to communicate back and forth with the aliens, even though obviously there was a language gap.
Was it like Contact or whatever?
That's
that
what
movie?
I thought the name of it was. But like they finally like figured it out. I think like their version of the alphabet. That's what it was with Davis
okay.
when he actually gave a good
okay,
answer.
I'm going to give you a question, and this one hurts the soul a little bit. If you have to do a 24-hour...
Arrival was the name of it.
Okay. If you have to do a weekly interview, and it is 10 minutes, no matter what, once a week, with either of the following two players, and it's 52 weeks, so there's no let up.
Okay.
Henry Davis, and this hurts me to say, James Conner.
Not even close.
Conner. I agree,
why.
But like James, man, I felt almost like we were holding him hostage sometimes when he would come
remember
on.
Remember when he said I don't like snacks and we were talking about like watching the Super Bowl or something like that?
Dude, I felt like in pain for
so
him.
So I saw him at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. We actually did a show together there.
Mm-hmm.
And he could not have been cooler. He could not have been nicer. He was way more outgoing.
My interviews with him at Pitt one-on-one when I would go over there to do like the pregame stuff, great.
I do think he looked at leaving Pittsburgh as almost a liberating thing, and he's obviously, I think, found a nice home there. And
made
I think
a nice little chunk of change for himself.
I think that was all Steelers' fear that he was going to say something that was going to piss off Tomlin, and he did not want to run afoul of his head coach.
If he wanted to cure himself of that, he should have just talked to Ben before he did interviews. Ben would have said, screw it. Do whatever you want. say whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
But, no, I think there is a legitimate personality in there with Conner. I don't think there is one with Davis.
That's what was, like, disappointing about doing the interviews with him that always fell flat was when I had talked to him just one-on-one at Pitt, he was still guarded because I think you're a college kid. You kind of, like, want to also stay on the straight and narrow with, like, your coach there. But you could tell there was more, like, energy to it. With us, man, didn't he come in once?
Yeah, I think only one time.
Hold on. Here's the other thing that was so – you're right, though. Your theory that he was scared of, like, running afoul of them. We had Arthur do one of the interviews with us, and we thought player to player, guys
who've been
there, done that. These guys, like, they know they're part of a fraternity we'll never be a member of. It's always different. And Arthur was like, "Hey, James, what's going on, man?" And he was just, "Hey, Arthur. Hey, Arthur, how are you?"
Two of my three favorite Steelers interviews are going to be a part of this 15th anniversary tonight. Two out of the three.
I think the guy who's
would have taken it.
What's that?
Meatloaf would have been fine with it.
I think I know who's not going to be part of it.
You do?
Yeah.
But I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Donnie, do we have this Hiles clip that I told you about?
Uh-oh. Is it Borges now?
I can't hear who
did
back
we have,
there.
Did, I don't know if we have... Oh, it's Gorgeous Borges.
Do we have that clip?
Jared Triolo got nicked in the elbow and was staring at Chad Kuhl the whole way to first base. The guy's trying to make a team. He's not trying to hit you, right?
Right.
He's trying to get you out. I don't understand that.
Man, what a weird-sounding Braves broadcast that is, but I understand it. So Chad Kuhl's pitching for the Braves now.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Chad, a cool dude. I've met him a couple times. Very cool, easygoing
Something
guy.
Something happened with his wife, right? Wasn't she
His
sick?
Wife was very sick. I don't want to say it out. I think she's doing better, so if we get this wrong, this is a completely innocent thing. Chad,
usually I get it wrong and not you.
Well, Chad was very cool. I remember like doing
related to Susie Cool? I think so.
I didn't think so. No. That's a pretty Kuhl is a pretty common last name. I thought also isn't Susie Cool's last name just Cool?
I thought she changed it for stage stuff.
Oh, I don't know. You might be right. I just remember being astounded.
Like Chris Mack.
Right. Well, Mack has changed it completely from what his is.
Or Seth the Milf Hunter.
I remember Cool. We did a youth baseball thing in Baldwin, and it was, I swear to you, it was like legitimately 100 degrees that day. And I remember just saying to him, dude, you are wearing a jersey and like dark black pants. How are you not like melting out here?
That's like Tomlin in September at training camp wearing all black.
I kid you not. Your sister, I think, works for this company. She'll still love this endorsement. She goes, man, they're these Lululemon pants. I just love them. I'm like, dude, I'd be, I'd be melting from the inside
that's
out.
That's right. I don't know who that Braves announcer was, but
very weird bit there.
Just the inflection there was strange.
Do you think that's a Pirates thing where they're getting disrespected because it's a Pirates player looking down the line, and if it's a Yankee or some other franchise
I still think they'd say a guy that's probably going to start the year at AAA and is on the comeback trail to the major leagues is not trying to make an impression by hitting Jared friggin' Triolo, of all people, in a spring training game. Anyways, coming up next.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.